This morning is Testimony Sunday, and I am pleased to introduce to you Grace Capendo, who's going to come and share with us from his heart what the Lord has been doing. So, Grace?
Good morning, everyone. As you know, today I'm going to give a testimony about my life, how God is working in my life. And I want to thank Pastor Kevin and the church giving me the opportunity to stand and praise God. Before I continue with my testimony, let me say why they give me my name, Grace. I was born in the Congo. My mom was Christian, and my whole family were Christian. They gave me this name, Grace. It's because the condition I was born in, how my mom got me. She was very, very sick, and family members, they were waiting to announce the final announcement that she would be dead. And if she died that day, I would have died too. But by grace of God, she survived, and I survived. Praise God. And today I'm talking to you. It's by grace of God. Back in the Congo when I was born, we had a great life. I was born in a Christian community where we had a big fence around. And that big fence, we had a church inside. And also we had the prayer room where my mom spent most of her time there to pray. And as you know, I was a kid and I thought it was normal. Living in that kind of situation, which was also dangerous, be born in a Christian life, because I thought I was blessed too, but I was not. I was participating in my mom's blessings. And one day, we didn't accept this to happen, expect this to happen. The war began, and we had to move from the Congo and then go to Tanzania. And in Tanzania, we end up going to refugee camp, which was not fun. It was not fun at all. In Tanzania, they gave us few plates and a tent to shelter ourselves or protect. We didn't have farm. You have no job. You can't start any kind of business, which was, you know, most people ran away from the Congo with ideas like they might do businesses or whatever they want to do. But in that situation, it was impossible to do it. And to get outside the refugee camp, you had to go to the government and ask for some sort of proof to show if you're going outside the camp. And sometime whenever you fill out the paper to be given up permission, they'll reject. They're not going to give you and ask you, like, why are you going outside the refugee camp and you have nowhere to go? So it was a hard situation. As a child, I didn't know. I thought it was good life. But, like, my mom leaving the farm and house back in the Congo, it was really tough for her. And she was fighting to see how she's going to provide stuff for us. She didn't have a job. She didn't have anything that can help us to survive. Every 2 weeks, we were given food. The whole refugee camp. In every 2 weeks, they give you food that the Tanzanian government was providing for refugees. And if you finish the food before those 2 weeks, come and then go to get another food. If you finish the whole food, then maybe the community might come and help you. But if you have no one to help you, I guess you just wait till the another week to be given the food. So that was the kind of life we lived in. But God protected us and He helped us. He did. Because we had nowhere to go. And at the time, the war was still in the Congo. And you spent a good 12 years in that life. 12, took it. I thank my mom. I didn't know if it was really hard because I was a kid. I thank my mom for not crying out loud and say, God, why did you leave, let us be in this kind of situation? She was praying every day. And she prayed to God that she can continue to follow him. It don't matter what kind of situation she was in. She just prayed that she can concentrate and follow him. To us, we didn't see anything happening. We'll go to school. Praise God. We used to go to school, you had no breakfast, no lunch, or nothing. Sometimes when I go to school and I come back, when nothing is there, no food, I have to wait. Go to school at 8 a.m., come back at 1. Sometimes we switch shifts, or one day I'll go to school at 1, come back at 6 or 7. And if I go to school at 8, come back home at 1, and there's not food, even there's one that I can eat, and I know my mom or my brother, they're not there, I'm not going to eat that food. Because if I eat it, they're not going to eat. If I finish all the food, they're going to starve to death. So that was kind of life that we lived in a refugee. Running away from your country, and then end up in a refugee. It was tough. It was tough. But God protected us. And now we're still living. In around 2009-8, the government started asking people to leave and go back to their own country. And we got so excited. Me and my brother got really excited. And we started asking my mom if we could go back and see our old friends and leave in our own country. And at the same time, I wanted to go back to Congo so I can learn French and go to France. That's what I wanted to go. I wanted to go to France. But my mom told us to wait. She told us to wait. Just wait. And while she was telling us to wait, she had a secret. She didn't tell anyone this. While in the Congo, where she was going to a prayer room, God told her one time, you are going to the United States one day. She kept that secret inside. She didn't tell any of them. She didn't tell us. She didn't tell pastors or anyone. And remember, back then, if you come to the United States, it was a dream. It was a dream. And she didn't want to tell anyone. And it turns out she not coming. And she kept her secret inside. After we start asking her to go to Congo, she just told us to wait. One time I went to school. When I came back, she called me and my brother and tell us, there's a note here received from the UN. We have to go there. And me and my brother got really excited that the UN now is kicking us out. Thank you. We have to go back home. We're really excited. Like now we're going back home. But it turns out they start asking us, what are your problems? He said, we don't have a problem. We don't have a problem. But my mom doesn't have a husband, that's all. That's all we can tell you. We don't have a problem. We were expecting to go back to Congo. And then they returned back home. They send us a letter say your case is approved. Like the case? Okay. Well, case is. Because the government was going in refugee and then ask those who have problems back home in the Congo. If you can't go or support yourself back there, they would have taken you and come to the United States. But my mom didn't go to any offices and ask, like, I want help. It was a miracle that happened, like what I said. The secret she kept inside. And she didn't tell anyone. Today we're here in the United States. After that, they sent us to another camp, which was a transit camp. You have to wait there and go to see the immigration and do all the processes to come to the U.S. I came in the United States in 2010 of June. It was hard for me to go to school or adapt the American culture. I didn't know how to speak English. It was hard for me to, make friends with other kids at school. Because I didn't know how I was going to start talking to them. I didn't know what to say to them. And I thought it was that's a new life. Well, my plan was to go back in my own country, but now I end up somewhere else where I don't speak English. And they sent me to school. I had to start as a freshman in high school, which was tough. I had to deal with language and at the same time taking classes. And those classes requires English. You can't go to class without speaking English. But it was tough. I don't understand how I passed them. When I came senior in high school and I started looking back, like, how did I pass my freshman year? How did I pass my sophomore year, my junior year? But by grace of God, I graduated. I graduated in 4 years, which was a miracle to me. Because most Africans who comes from the country that don't finish high school in 4 years because of the language. They have to take at least one more year in order to complete high school. But God helped me and then I finished in 4 years. And my junior high, as I said, I was born in a Christian home and I grew up in a Christian community. My junior high is when I knew who Jesus was. I wasn't going to church. I grew up in the church. But I didn't like church. I didn't like it. I was asking myself inside, if this is the process of going to church, in and out, what's the benefit? What's the benefit of going to church, in and out? When I was a freshman, I started thinking if I can just stop going to church. But also, I wanted to please my mom. I didn't want her to get hurt. She had enough in a refugee camp. And if I stop going to church here, I'm going to make her regret why she came to the United States. Because this is a place where everyone's come and thinks they will have a better life. And I start going to church to please my mom. My sophomore year, I was going to church to please my mom. I was not going to church because I know why I'm going there. My junior high is, that's when God did something that I can't imagine. I cannot imagine. I start going to church. Not for my mom telling me to go to church. God is doing a tremendous work in my life that I can't imagine and I can't explain. Today it's really hard for someone especially someone in my age. Say I'm going to church for Jesus. I used to please my mom to go to church, but now, my junior high, God changed me. He changed me. It doesn't matter how age you are. It doesn't matter how old you are. You might be young. You might be in high school. You might be in middle school. You might be an adult. You still his or hers. The point of me give my testimony is to encourage you. You might have a problem. Don't make an announcement. Don't make an announcement. Don't stress out yourself. Don't stress out yourself. Ask Jesus first. Your mom, your dad, your siblings, your husband, or your wife, even your pastor, they can help you. There's some stuff that no one can help you but Jesus. He's the only one who can help you. And if you're taking Jesus' name as a song, you're not going to think it's valid. If you hear Jesus every time you're coming in a church, in and out, and you hear Jesus, every time a pastor stands up here, he says Jesus. And you take it like he's singing. And you don't think that name has the power. It's not going to have the power to you. Not at all. But ask him, he's going to help you. You might think you have a problem, but there's someone who has a big problem more than yours. They're just not making announcements or telling people, say, I have a problem. Because no one out there has the answer. Because if I announce my problem, you're going to make it worse. Or someone else is going to make it worse. Or I might make it worse. But if I ask Jesus, he's the Father who can help me. He's the one who can answer me. He's the only one who can answer me. No one else can answer. Yes, people help each other. But in order for someone to help you, he has to go through that person in order to help you. And if you ask him first, then he doesn't need to use that person. He will answer you directly. To receive help from Jesus Christ, we need to live a holy life. We need to live a holy life. They preach us so many times. They preach us so many times. We have to live in the Word. We have to read the Word of Jesus Christ. If you don't read the Word, you don't spend a lot of time in the Word. You're not going to take it seriously. If you don't spend a lot of time in the Word, you're going to take the church, whatever they preach, as do and don't. Yes, they're do and don't. Because we're not free. We're not free. Our body is a temple of Jesus Christ. We're free from the sin. But to Jesus Christ, we are not free. You can't do whatever he wants to do. No, no, no. Our body is the thing. He lives within us. And if you're not clean, he's not going to dwell in us. We have to be clean. It doesn't matter who you are. We don't just leave this to pastors, saying pastors, they have to read scriptures and come here every Sunday, preach to us. Yes, they do. What about us? They're helping us to explain. They're showing us. We have to go back and read. And after they show it to us, we're going to see the power in the Word. We're going to understand why we're here. Because if you're coming to church with no purpose, you're going to leave the church. Someone is going to offend you. Maybe I might offend you. But if you know why you're here, you're not going to leave the church. You're not going to say, I'm leaving the church because they didn't care about me. You're not going to leave the church because they preach something that I do. If they're preaching something that you do, they want you to stop. They'll take you the right way. They'll take you the right way. We don't know when it's going to come. Maybe it's today or tomorrow. Or the next minute. And if they didn't tell you, it's on them. If they didn't spend time telling you not to do this, it's on them. They'll judge it. That's what they're telling you. We need to come to church not to please someone. Coming to church also is not enough. We have to talk like the Word. Act like the Word. You don't have to announce yourself you're a Christian. You don't have to. Don't tell someone I'm a Christian. No. What you say? The way you're wearing, they're going to tell you you're a Christian. The way you're walking, they will tell you you're a Christian. You don't have energy to wait and tell someone, I'm a Christian. You don't need to spend that energy. Why? But today we'll live a holy life. Don't take a Christianity. It's not a hobby. It has to be your life. It has to be your life. Whenever you proclaim Jesus as your Lord, you are allowing the spiritual battle with the enemy. It's not easy. It's not easy. If he had to come down, is to show you it's not easy. It's not easy. He died the most humiliating death, which none of us is going to die like that. And that's the first thing he's going to ask you. He's going to ask you. He will. We all need to have a plan. Say, I'm living this life because I want to see Jesus. And if you want to see Jesus, you have to be holy. You have to be holy. As a Christian, he gave us the power. We're a small God. And if you're a small God, why do I say grace? I drink once a month. Why would I say I drink once a year? My cup will not overflow with the joy of Jesus Christ. The small thing we do is going to keep us away from seeing the eternal life. I might respect my parent. I might respect my mom. I might not respect any of you. But if I know myself inside, I go behind the house, smoke marijuana, take small drinks, and I come back to my mom and say, I don't do all this stuff. But he sees everything. We are to be clean. We are his. And if he stay within us, we don't need something to mix. No. We are tapping our preachers to tell us the truth. Because whenever they say the truth, you talk about it. You criticize your pastor. Whenever you criticize your pastor, you're criticizing God. You are. He's just standing here to preach the word of God. Literally. You might be doing all of this stuff. But if you don't respect someone who God chose and preached to his people, you're not going to go in. You're not. But if you live according to the word, you're not going to have energy to criticize pastors. They tell you not to smoke. They tell you not to drink. You're not going to criticize. And you're not going outside and tell everyone that the pastor is telling us not to do this, this, and this. It's easy for someone who doesn't live in the word to say that. That pastor is only preaching about us. He's preaching about me. Every time I go to church, they preach about me, what I do. But if you spend the time in the word, he doesn't have to tell you. You yourself, you make a step and stop doing what you're doing. If he is holy, why would he live in a house that is not clean? You don't need someone going around you or guard you. You don't need your parents to go with you at school and see what you do. You don't need your mom to wake up every early in the morning and then say, I want to go see what my child is doing. But if you're not spending time in the Word, she is going to do that. She's going to wake up and see what you're doing because she wants you to leave the right way. It's a very dangerous thing you could do to start with Jesus and end up with the world. It's better off to start with the world and end with Jesus. If you see yourself inside, you know yourself inside. If you know you're coming to church to please someone, take a step back. Take it back and examine yourself and say, why is this? Take a step back. Because if you're not taking a step back, the enemy is going to defeat you. And if you leave the church and you go out there, there's no protection. You will be going church to church. You're not going to have whatever you want to have. There's no answers. All the churches are the same. That's the name. It's his Christian church, but we follow Jesus Christ. Whatever you go, they call whatever other name. We have Jesus Christ in our life. The physical pain, is not going to make us to blaspheme his name. We all know we are in a journey. We have our own home. We have a home. But the home is not for everyone, for those who try to live holy. And if we claim that we can't be holy, then we are claiming God is not powerful to make us holy. Yes, we are claiming he's not powerful to make us holy. I don't like the statement that they say we're all sinners. No. Yes. As a Christian, you don't say we're all sinners. No. If you say we're all sinners, you're telling God it's not powerful to change you. You think it's not power enough to change you. That's what it means. We are sinners, but he's helping us to live the holy life. He's helping us to live a holy life. We're not going to leave this to pastors. Say, pastors, they're the only one who pray. They're the only one who's supposed to pray for us. No. They have their own life too. They're working hard to reach their destination. But if you're not, you're not going to make it. Especially this time. Especially this time. This is the time that we really have to live in the Word. We have to read scriptures. This is the time. We should not live for tomorrow. Today is our day. And this is our minute. The next minute, it's not ours. If we live in scriptures, the enemy is not going to see us. He will try to fight you, but he's not going to win. Because you have Jesus in your life. You have him in your life. And he will help you and overcome all the problems that you have in your life. May God bless you.
You've been listening to Testimony Sunday at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111 Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.